Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is William Gould, a Stanford Law professor specializing in labor and discrimination law, who previously served as chairman of the National Labor Relations Board. He has arbitrated more than 200 labor disputes, including the 1992-1993 salary disputes between the Major League Baseball Players Association and the Major League Baseball Players Relations Committee. His most recent book is Bargaining with Baseball: Labor Relations in an Age of Prosperous Turmoil. Welcome to Background Briefing, William Gould.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And your book, Bargaining with Baseball, Labor Relations in an Age of Prosperous Turmoil, which is a great term, by the way, you have an entire chapter on the law and arbitration of drug disputes. But in terms of prosperous turmoil, just the A-Rod, the player who's had this record suspension, he may end up the Yankees may end up being relieved of paying him $34.1 million of the approximately $100 million remaining on his contract. But the money that he's made so far is extraordinary. In his 10-year contract, he got $275 million in 2007. And another $252 million in 2000. So these numbers are pretty extraordinary, aren't they?
They are. In his time, Rodriguez had the richest contract ever negotiated. I think that there are a few since then that are roughly comparable, a bit in excess of it, but. He got an awful lot for a long period of time. He, of course, was and might still be, although I rather doubt it, one of baseball's most outstanding players.
He's also, apparently, according to Sports Illustrated, one of the least likable players in baseball, and he got booed. Was it yesterday that he played, or is it today? I'm not sure.
It was last night.
Last night,
booed,
right.
With great enthusiasm by the Chicago crowd, and I dare say he'll be booed wherever he goes except for Yankee Stadium itself, where despite some dissent, I think probably the Yankee fans continue to love him.
So what is the is going on here vis-a-vis the Dominican Republic, where you have, I think, the majority of these 13 who have been suspended, I think 8 of them are from the Dominican Republic, where apparently steroids and human growth hormones are readily available, just over the counter, apparently.
Yes. Over the past few decades, baseball has recruited more players from the Dominican Republic as the cost of free agents and the bonuses associated with outstanding college and high school players have escalated. You're recruiting players from the most extreme depths of desperate poverty. Baseball itself has documented over the past 4 years or so in reports issued under the commissioner from the commissioner's office, how the prevalence of drugs, performance-enhancing drugs taken by players there, because players are anxious to do whatever they can to lift themselves out of the most desperate poverty and to have a chance to obtain some of these very handsome individual contracts which players have negotiated in recent years.
So do you have a kind of difference in culture, if you will, between the players from the Caribbean who have been recruited and, as you say, you know, come out of real poverty, and then you have all these college players here in the United States Are there any politics behind the drugs and those who are calling for the banning of these drugs? Because
I think that a wide variety of players have used them. It's just clear, particularly in this last round of suspensions instituted most recently, arising out of the Biogenesis anti-aging clinic crisis down there in Florida, the overwhelming percentage are players who come from Latin America. But there are players inside the United States who have used performance-enhancing drugs. Mark McGuire, who broke home run records, has confessed, as has A-Rod himself, to taking performance-enhancing drugs. The use of them is widespread. And, of course, one of the disturbing things about these recent events is that although baseball has negotiated this past decade testing procedures for them, it seems quite clear that these testing procedures are inadequate, that the players, the cheaters amongst the players, are just a step ahead of the testers because most of these players were never detected as having violated the rules through the tests themselves.
Again, I'm speaking with William Gould, a Stanford law professor specializing in labor and discrimination law, who previously served as chairman of the National Labor Relations Board. He's arbitrated more than 200 labor disputes, including the 1992-1993 salary dispute between the Major League Baseball Players Association and the Major League Baseball Player Relations Committee. His most recent book is Bargaining with Baseball, Labor Relations in an Age of Prosperous Turmoil. Now, when you mentioned Biogenesis, the company down in Florida that's involved with Alex Rodriguez and some of the other players who've been suspended. You also mentioned Mark McGuire. He was associated with a Bay Area company called Balco, right?
Right.
And they were doing the same thing. So what's the relationship between these shadowy companies that seem to be involved in dubious drug products and these big, rich baseball players?
Well, I think it's supply and demand. The players have recognized, and the owners, of course, are complicit in this, that home runs and great power and performance produce attendance, produce television contracts, produce the transmission of baseball games through computers, and there's a lot of money to be obtained as the result of that. The players have been able to obtain part of it. This really came to our attention because of the contest between McGuire and Sammy Sosa in 1998. They were involved in a very close struggle for the home run lead to break Babe Ruth's, to break Roger Maris's record, who had broken Babe Ruth's home run record. And both of them were subsequently discovered to have utilized performance-enhancing drugs. Along comes Barry Bonds, who says, "I'm really a much better player than either of these guys," and they're only able to have better statistics because of these drugs which are available. And a book was published called Game of Shadows by two San Francisco Chronicle reporters, which really kind of exposed Bonds' involvement in drugs. Congress holds hearings, and as a result of that, you begin to get what appeared to be, at the time, effective or testing procedures and greater sanctions for penalties for violating these testing rules. The extent of the appropriate sanctions is going to be, I think, at the heart of any arbitration which arises out of the A-Rod case, the Alex Rodriguez case, as this matter will go to arbitration. That is why he is able to play probably the entire 2013 season.
because the arbitration is expected to go on for a long time, right? If you look at what happened with in 1992 with Steve Howe, they can also appeal these suspensions. So what does it say about the young kids? You know, parents, fathers take their kids to the ball games. These players are big role models. There's all this piety about cleaning up baseball and getting rid of drugs, but this keeps happening time and time again. It does.
At the time of the McGuire incident, the commissioner said the steroid era is over. Well, that's 2 or 3 years ago, and it just comes back to haunt us time and time again. And the most pernicious consequence of this is the message that it sends to young people, that this is the way to succeed. This is the way to perform in the game and to get attention. And we haven't heard the end of the A-Rod story by any means, and it may well be that he is successful or partially successful at least reducing the suspension that has been imposed upon him. Steve Howe, whom you mentioned, was a left-handed, outstanding left-handed pitcher at the time of the use of recreational drugs, which was really baseball's problem in the 80s and 90s. And he was suspended 7 times. And the 8th time, the commissioner wanted to ban him for life, and the arbitrator reversed that. Arbitrators have reversed penalties in many of these cases. Probably the commissioner's authority will be found in Article 12 of the collective bargaining agreement, which allows him to sanction players who materially damage the best interests of baseball. The case involving John Rocker of the Atlanta mm-hmm. Braves, whom I discuss in my book, it also reversed mm-hmm. the penalty that was imposed upon him for racist comments that he made in Sports Illustrated. But the arbitrator recognized in the Rocker case that the commissioner has the authority to take action against players who act against the best interests of baseball and materially damage the business.
Well, William Gould, I thank you so much for joining us here today. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Good to be with you.
Again, I've been speaking with William Gould, a Stanford Law professor specializing in labor and discrimination law. He previously served as chairman of the National Labor Relations Board, and he arbitrated more than 200 labor disputes, including the 1992-93 salary dispute between Major League Baseball Players Association and the Major League Baseball owners. His most recent book is Bargaining with Baseball, Labor Relations in an Age of Prosperous Turmoil. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Claire Goldsmith. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.